Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back again. We have Dr. Kennedy on the line. Dr. Kennedy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, that is much, 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 much better. Thank you for coming on your show tonight. You have just left Fresno. You have been in a bird pretty much for hours flying back to the south. Kind of give us an overview of your stay here in Fresno and going back to Atlanta, Georgia. How do you feel to be back on the soil of Atlanta, Georgia? We know you have been going through a movement out there. You came out to Fresno. You had a town hall meeting. You did some video shoots to educate people. You're also in a Community Alliance newspaper. Go down memory lane and give us a little bit of description and history of your journey.
Well, first of all, thank God for traveling mercies. I got here in one piece. The travel was pleasant, and so I had lots of memories to take me back here to Georgia. I am driving while I'm speaking, so hopefully it's not too much of a disturbance, but that's what technology can do for us. Yes, this is a different feeling coming back, Reverend Harris, and my listening audience, and I'll tell you why. Because as folks say, we're on a mission. I am on a mission. We're on a mission. I'm on a mission for and on behalf of the Californians living in California and who chooses to travel backwards and forwards in and out of California. You know, that's what makes it so wonderful when you have all these states. Each state is almost like a little country, and we can travel backwards and forwards. But do you know that we don't actually have traveling rights in some of the states? Did you hear me? Did you hear what I just said? I said, we don't actually have traveling rights. And I was shocked to learn of that. So when I came into California this time, I wanted to meet with our legislators, and I wanted to pose to them the question as to why it is that there are certain states that when we travel into those states, if we are given a citation for whatever the reasons, whether we're right or whether we're wrong, you get a citation. Why is it that in those particular states, you are required to pay that citation on the spot? And if you do not pay that citation on the spot, then you are arrested. Now, wait a bit. I said United States of America. I didn't say Mexico. I didn't say going to some other country. I'm talking about the United States of America, the one that has the red, blue, and white striped flag. Yeah, that one. The one that we have, the President Barack Obama. Yeah, that one. Yeah? And so why is it then that, as I just stated, that you can go to certain states, and if you get a citation, get a ticket, whether you feel you deserve the ticket or not, you are handed a ticket by their police officers in that particular state. And because you are a Californian, yes, that's what I said, and because you are a Californian, you are given that citation and you are expected to pay that ticket on the spot. Now, listen here. If you have that kind of money, that a ticket that might be $400 or $800 or even $150. Look, money is money. And in this tight economy, if you don't have money to pay for a ticket, even a $35 ticket, if there's such a thing today, can cost you a time spent in jail. Now, why is it that there is not reciprocity with certain states and California? Well, that's the mission that we're on. I wanted to find out, why is that? Why is it that some states can get a citation and they have time to appeal that citation back to that state? And if the state decides, yes, you're right, we shouldn't have ticketed you, then the ticket is canceled. Or if that state believes that you should have gotten a ticket, then at the end of the day, you are given the time to pay that ticket. So again, here we are finding out that there are double standards across the United States of America. So can you hear me, Reverend Harris? I want to make sure that I haven't dropped the call. Well,
I hear you loud and clear.
Oh, okay, good, because it sounded quite silent there for a minute. So,
Keep talking.
I will keep talking. So what I wanted to do was to bring that attention to the Department of Motor Vehicles, wanted to bring that attention to the assembly people, to our congressional people, because it's a state issue. It's not a federal issue. It's a state issue. And so I'm hoping that as we create pushback, that we will be able to get something changed. Now, listen, you can't take every single law on the books to be such. You know, there are some laws that are still traveling out of Jim Crow. There are still some laws, and this is one of those laws that requires you to walk with papers, as it were. And we're in a time where you don't have to be walking with papers. Your driver's license as your ID should be sufficient to you traveling in and out of states. Now, I know a lot of you are still saying, I'm still confused. I don't know what this lady is saying. She sounds like she's saying that you can't just get up and go to some states and visit that state without being put at risk for being arrested because you're not able to pay a ticket on the spot. That's exactly what I'm saying, just what I'm saying. Don't add, don't take away from what I'm saying, exactly what I'm saying. And so if you want to visit your loved ones in Georgia or you want to take some vacation time and you decide you're going to spend some time here in Georgia, whether you want to spend a week or whether you want to spend 30 days, there are different statuses of the law that require certain things from you. And if you fall into their category, and we'll go into more details with that as these shows go on from time to time, because we want to generate an archive profile that is related to California and the harm, the collateral damage. Okay, because some of you don't understand when I say harm, what we mean by harm. So let me use the legal term. When there is collateral damage done to us as Californians, that's what I said, collateral damage. When there is collateral damage done as a result of one state honoring another state, and you as a citizen or a resident of that state is harmed by another state, it is not any different than if you went down to Mexico and something happened to you and you were put in jail. You would expect your Congress, you would expect your American government to do everything in their power to get you out of jail. Would you not? Then you should expect the very same thing from your individual state to where the government says, no, you don't do that to our residents, and extradite you either back to your state. That's what I said, extradite you either back to your state and look into the matter. And so that is what I'm looking at. California permits its residents to travel, take their car out of state if they so desire, and travel across the state. What a wonderful free opportunity it is for us to be able to travel. That never used to be the case back in the slavery days. You know that. A free slave had to walk around with papers. And some states did not even honor those papers. If they went into some of those states, free paper or not, they were not going to honor that. That's how tough the Jim Crow laws were in the South. Today, we say we're not under Jim Crow laws anymore, and it's great to know that we physically are not under those laws. But, ladies and gentlemen, and especially those of you who happen to listen to this show and you're on the West Coast, particularly if you're out of California or you have family members or friends out of California, let them know that that is not the case when it comes to the state of Georgia. Georgia does not have reciprocity with the state of California. Did you hear me? Georgia, the state of Georgia does not have reciprocity with the state of California. There are six states that Georgia has chosen not to reciprocate with them, has chosen not to honor with them, has chosen not to do business when it comes to the law with those states. And so whereas somebody would get a ticket and could go back to their state and make their payments or however they want to handle that situation, you in California does not have that opportunity to do so. If you cannot pay your ticket on the spot, they are not going to send a bounty hunter for you. They're not going to send paperwork for you to get that ticket paid. As a matter of fact, they see you as a flight risk. So if you don't pay the ticket on the spot, the only way that they can get that ticket paid is to arrest you if you cannot pay it on the spot. Did you hear what I said? They will arrest you. You will receive an arrest on your record as a misdemeanor, and you will be arrested unless you can post bail. Now, that might not mean anything to a whole lot of people who are listening, because you'll say, oh, this will never happen to me. But it happened to a professor. It happened to a radio host. It's happened to many others. As a matter of fact, we're now asking the question, why is it that our students from California can come to the state of Georgia and be students there, but yet they are in the state past 30 days, which is a residency law, by the way. California, I think we have like 15 days. So even ours is much more stringent than Georgia. But here's the difference. In California, if you're there past 15 days and you haven't declared residency, you can declare your visiting status. And at worst, you will still be able to go before a judge. You certainly will not be arrested. You will go before a judge. You'll be given a date, and you'll be able to declare to that judge what your business is, what is your status, what is your whereabouts, why you're in California for the period of time that you're at. You're not even thinking about being arrested. But in the state of Georgia, they have a 30-day residency. And if you do not take out your residency after 30 days and you come in contact with the law for whatever the reasons are, you will receive a ticket that says that you are out of state residency. Therefore, you get a ticket. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, how much is the ticket? Well, you know, so what if the ticket is $100-something, $170, whatever? But on top of that, you're going to get several other tickets because you know the law. There's always one law upon another. People just don't get arrested for one situation. Normally, a police is giving you a list of all kinds of things that they think you're out of compliance with because they want to make sure some charge sticks. So if you were only going to get charged with one thing, that would be one situation. But most times we get multiple charges so that if one doesn't stick in the court, then maybe another one will stick. And so this is what we're looking at. And when we start talking about collateral damage, here you are now, never had an arrest warrant maybe. Maybe you're a three striker. Maybe you have other situations going on in your life that requires you not to have an arrest record. We don't even know. But that could impact you as a person. So Blog Talk Radio is sponsoring the opportunity to have this voice. We want to be able to hear from people who have experienced this, who have heard about the situation, who knows of individuals, who thinks it's a fair or an unfair law, what they think needs to happen, who's willing to take this on in their communities, push this before their senators, push this before your assembly persons, and if necessary, have a class action suit. Yes, that's what I said. If necessary, Californians get together and sue the state. state of Georgia for not giving you and I reciprocity. We ought to be able to travel from state to state without wondering if we're going to be arrested for being in that state beyond a certain time. Look, you can only have residency in one state at a time. That's a given fact. That's an IRS issue. That's a tax issue. So we understand that. But if you are able to prove that you have residency in one state, whether you're paying your income taxes there, you're paying property taxes there, whatever the thing is that ties you to that state, you're a voter in that state, you do your jury duty in that state, all those things that ties you to a state, if you declare a state as your residency, no other state in this union should question that. Did you hear what I said? If you declare residency in one state, how dare another state force you, yes, I said force you to become a resident in their state? What are we dealing with? You know, so many of us as Americans talk about the Soviet Union, and we say how it's a dictatorship, and we criticize and point fingers at other countries. But do you not see that America is becoming more and more like those same countries that you say have a dictatorship? When did we get to a place in the United States of America that you cannot travel? Commerce laws. That's the reason why we have inner commerce laws. They are designed for you and I, ladies and gentlemen, to get up and travel and have freedom to travel and to look at all of your options. When we live in a job market where, for example, jobs are being taken out of California, manufacturers, because they just cannot handle the high levels of workman's comp and the other legalities and the other taxes that goes along with that, so they go to other states. And if you cannot pack a suitcase and say, you know what, honey, I'm going to go over to such and such a state for a period of time to work. This is not any different than when we had our depression. This is not any different when people used to leave one city, one town, one state, and go into another city, another town, another state to help so they wouldn't have one chicken in a pot, as the president said back then in that day. And so here we are now. In a similar situation where some jobs are more available than others, or housing is more affordable than other states. Look, you can either buy a house in California, you can buy one in other states. Or jobs availability or more inclusive of a state. There are states that do not acknowledge gay rights, let alone gay marriage. And if we get to a point where we begin to start asking people for traveling papers. And when I talk about traveling papers, I'm talking about your driver's license. It's your traveling paper. And if they're going to look at your driver's license and says, oh, you can't drive in my state past 30 days, you're going to have to get yourself residency. And you're saying to them, but I don't want to switch over my residency. I don't want to be a resident of your state. I want to simply come and visit. Why then should you be handed a ticket, a citation? So, Californians, we have work at hand. Californians, we're on a mission. Californians, we have work to do. We have got to make sure that we are not discriminated against when we go into other states. Californians, we've got to make sure that we don't take our hard-earned money in California and pay bail bonds money to other states because they're not having a reciprocity with us. We've got to make sure, Californians, that we're not having to hire attorneys in other states to simply represent us in an unfair arrest or, at worst, a wrongful arrest. Because you should not have to be arrested simply for visiting, whether it's to do business, whether it is to visit family members, whether it's to look at your options, or whether it's just time out. Whatever that might be, do you know you can go to states now and get plastic surgery and be there for a period of time and turn it into a vacation? And if we're going to be limited in the time span that we get to spend in a state, and at worst be told, if you're here past a certain time, you must take out residency. You should not be told that you must take out residency. You must take out residency. And that word must is on the books of Georgia. I am appealing to you, Californians, to not sit back and chew on your thumbs and just kind of sit there being dumb. Let us be more proactive. Let us not wait until when it happens to you or somebody you know, and then you want to be reactionary. As a matter of fact, I challenge challenge you Californians to contact your legislators, your senators, and ask them about this law. Ask them why it is that Georgia does not accept visitors past 30 days in their state as a visiting status, and why it is that you have to pay a ticket on the spot for whatever reasons. And if you don't have that money, you will go to debtor's jail. That's what I said. You will go to debtor's jail. That has been outlawed so many years ago, and yet there are still states still doing that. Now, you might say, well, this doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to take on that fight. That's okay. You don't take on the fight for yourself, but you've got loved ones and families that will travel, that will go for opportunities that maybe you don't want to go to. So don't just look at yourself only, but look at those who are around you, and so that we can make this world a better place to live in. We should be able to have that freedom. After all, isn't that what America is all about? Isn't it about freedom? Isn't that why people swim the channels to come to America for freedom? Isn't that why people dig tunnels under the ground to leave one country to another for the opportunity of freedom? Isn't that why we have so many people in this country who are not here legally, but they want the freedom? Freedom is a price. Freedom is priceless. And for you as an American citizen, to find yourself in a position here in the United States of America where you cannot travel in and out of states freely, that in itself is an injustice. And so I appeal to you to really begin to look at this and support us. You're going to hear more about this. We have a Facebook that will be up shortly. And I am challenging you, if you know of attorneys, yes, if you know of attorneys who are willing to take on this case, these kinds of cases, what is a case? The case of a lack of reciprocity between state of California and the state of Georgia, and the harm, the collateral damage, yes, that is done to Californians when we travel into the state of Georgia and we are not represented by a Californian attorney. You need to be able to understand the importance of the freedom to come and go. We need California attorneys. I'm looking for California attorneys who are willing to step up to the table and say, you know what, I think I'd like to look into this. I think I want to be part of this. And I know somebody will come forward and say, I think you guys got a case. I think that you certainly have a case. After all, if we have agencies in California that are saying to us it's free to come and go, and when you actually go, you're not really free to come and go, that's misinformation. Misinformation that will hurt you. Who takes the liability for that? Who takes that? And so this is a serious conversation. As we send our children abroad, as we send our children to other states to study, they're paying out-of-state fees. And then when they decide to get themselves their own apartment, their own residence there, they still are not permitted to take out residency. They have to keep their status here in California. Isn't that ironic? For students, they want them to maintain California residency. Isn't that ironic? For students, the state of Georgia would prefer Californian students to maintain their residency in California. Why? 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 Of course you know why. Because it gives them more money as out-of-state students than if they were to take on their residency. Well, if you can permit the students to have and maintain their residency status outside of Georgia, why then do other people not have the same opportunity to have the same residency status? Ah, it's a money-generating venture. And if we don't stop this while we can, it will become overwhelming. And this is a money-making venture. And we should not stand for this, for where we are drained of our own personal resources, our opportunity to have the freedom. So I'm back here on a mission. Yes, I am. This week I will be going to the precinct in my area while I'm visiting my daughter again. And I will make them aware that I am here again in Georgia and that I am going to be here past 30 days. And so what do they have for me to protect me and to protect my rights while I'm here? Because I will not be taking out residency. I do not want to change my residency from California. I should have the right to travel and enjoy other states without feeling that I must pull up my residency one state over another. So I will be looking into that. After I get my information, I will also be going to the Capitol, and I will be looking for that Democratic representative. And if I can find a Republican representative that's open-minded and understands this plight, this dilemma for Californians, I will be asking them, why is it that we do not have reciprocity? Why is it that Georgia has not invited California to be part of the reciprocity status like they have for other states? And to make sure that something changes on that. And so that is where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. And so, wow, you can say, whoa, Dr. Kennedy is really on a mission. It's not just about Dr. Kennedy at the end of the day. It really is about Californians, my grandchildren, my other relatives, my friends, my co-associates, those who want to travel and explore their options. It is about the freedom that we fight for day in and day out, and it does make a difference. It does matter. As everything else on this planet is mattering, that also matters. Californians being able to travel freely, that matter does matter to us. Now, I'm not even going to put in the ethnicity piece and the gender piece and the socioeconomic piece on that. Let's just keep it where it is for tonight. Because as we peel this onion one layer at a time, you're going to see why it's so important for these laws to be applicable and have parity across the board so that it does not discriminate anyone. Because if it discriminates a Californian, can you imagine the impact for a person of color from California? Can you imagine the impact that it would have on a person who has a sexual orientation that is not acceptable social-wise or socio-economical-wise? And so again, we must make sure that we're on a level playing field. That is the appeal. And so I'm here tonight and looking forward to our ongoing programs for the rest of coming up next week, the great topics that we have, black-on-black crimes is a conversation we're going to be talking about, and there's some other areas that we will be talking of in this radio show. So, Reverend Harris, thank you for that time. I know you wanted me to break it down and share in very details what needs to happen, because some people say, well, why do you need to go back to Georgia? Why don't you just stay where you're at? Somebody's got to be a Rosa Parks. Somebody has to be a Rosa Parks. Bad laws need to be changed. Bad laws need to be changed.
There you have Dr. Jean Kennedy. Dr. Jean Kennedy from Atlanta, Georgia, talking about the struggle, talking about what she had went through, her arrest, her getting booked, her had to cut her hair. She didn't even talk about that piece because the struggle that she has is like a puzzle. You fix so much on this side, then you got to go to that side, then you got to go back to this side. So we're fixing a puzzle here. But Dr. Kennedy, one question I have for you. So I want you to put on your hat, as we say, her hat that she wears as a professor. I heard you say this two or three times, Dr. Kennedy. You use the terminology United States. When I look up the word United States, we're talking about a bunch of small states which are combined into United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would like to ask you, and I'm intentionally doing this because I want our listening audience to do some critical thinking. If we were brought here from slavery, from Africa, on boats, we didn't have to have a passport to get here. It was against our will. We were made to come here. We were made as black people to work on plantation. We were made to be sold to different white plantation owners here in this country. Now, we probably know during that time that the United States wasn't so much united. But my question is, if under the Constitution of the United States of America that we're all Americans, but yet we can't travel from state to state, but we call it United States, which we all know that every state is really segregated from each other states because they have their own set of rules. And so it brings us into the conversation of what you're talking about. So are we really united, Dr. Kennedy, or are we really segregated?
That is a $6 million question. I think that we've seen more and more today, even under this presidential cabinet, where the White House, the Congress is not united. I think more so than ever, we've seen so much of a disconnect at the expense of the people. Republicans intentionally putting their foot in the ground and not wanting to give a vote, intentionally, at the expense of the people, not passing a budget on a timely basis, at the expense of the people. So no, we have the term united, but I think that as Americans, we're going to have to revisit what we mean when we say United States of America. There are many countries that use the word united, the United Kingdom, that's England, Europe, many other countries that use the term united. So it must have a definition of sorts. And so I think that we in America have to take the time to revisit, what do we mean by united? Who are the ones that are united? Because obviously there are those that are inclusive and those are ones who are exclusive. And so who exactly are the united? As a minority, we tend to look at the white male and we think that he has all the power in the world. And then as a white male, you hear where he's an angry white man. And he's looking as though he doesn't have the power because he feels all the minorities are coming and taking power away from him. So exactly who is united? We look at America and we see so many minority groups here, ethnic-wise and otherwise. They are the majority, not the white people, not Caucasians. They are not the majority of people in the United States anymore. So exactly what do we mean when we say united? United in what? Our politics? United in what? Our religion? Certainly not. United in what? Our socioeconomic abilities to strive and everybody get have a pie in the sky? Certainly not. We have laws that prevent people from moving forward economically. United in what? Our criminal justice system or our criminal injustice system? Exactly where are we being united? You've got Ivy League schools. You can go to a school, and just because you attended that school, it gives you carte blanche to get the better jobs, even if you're coming out with a C major because it happens to be an Ivy League school versus another school. So again, we do have to give a definition as to what United States mean. Exactly what are we saying when we say that? So yes, Reverend Harris, I can't answer that individually. As an organizational psychologist, what I've done, though, is to give you an idea of how so complex this terminology is for where we are at today. Even Americans are afraid of one another because we are even beginning to realize that ISIS is right here in our country. We don't have to go abroad to find ISIS. It's living right here amongst us. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? ISIS are Americans. You don't have to always look to the foreigner and say they're the ISIS. You've got ISIS living right here amongst you in your neighborhood who are born, bred Americans. So again, what do we mean by united? That's the $6 million question. And I don't know that I can put a definition on it that unites this country because I believe we're in transition at this point.
Well, what we're going to do, Dr. Kennedy, we're going to go into the end of our show. Thank you for that rich information. We'll have a part two on Monday. Tune in with Real Talk with the number one doctors, Dr. Gene Kennedy from Atlanta, Georgia, and Dr. Harris from Mississippi, Fresno, Revolutionary 2015. And what does Bob Marley tell us, Dr. Kennedy?
Wow, thank God for Bob Marley's words. One love, that's united. One love. One love unites us together. Peace and love.
And we'll say goodnight.